Welcome to the Hayes Worldwide Careers Advice Podcast, bringing you insights into the world of work. In this series, I'll be talking to experts to give you practical tips and advice on careers. I'm your host, John Beasley from Hayes, the world's largest specialist recruiter. Generation Z, those who are beginning their career journeys, are facing difficult challenges as they try to navigate the current uncertain climate. As a result, approximately one in four Gen Z employees have sought support with their mental health since the pandemic began. So today, in support of World Mental Health Day, we are joined by leadership coach Simi Raya, who is here to share her expert insights on how Gen Z can look after their mental health as they start to build their careers. Thanks for joining us today, Simi.
Thank you, John. It's a pleasure to be here today. This is definitely a topic that is very close and dear to my heart.
Definitely. And to kick things off, what would be really good is if you could just quickly introduce yourself to our listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. So my name's Simi Rayet, and I am a chartered business psychologist and leadership coach. I'm the owner and founder of a psychology coaching practice called Wellbeing Face.
Thank you very much, Simi. So today we're going to be talking about the impacts the COVID-19 pandemic has had and is still having on the mental health of young people, in particular Gen Z, the younger members of the workforce. But before we dive in, mental health is, you know, it's quite a wide term and obviously incorporates both negative and positive mental health. But could you just give a little bit of an explanation as to what we mean by the term?
Yeah, so mental health is the state of our mind. So it's a state or condition of our thinking, our feelings and our being. So quite often the term is used interchangeably with emotional and psychological well-being. But having good mental health is really important. And if not more important than, you know, essentially having good physical health as well, it really affects how we feel, how we think, act, the choices that we make, our attitude, and also how we cope with stress and setbacks, and how we make decisions and how we show up for things. So mental health is it's a really big area. It's absolutely key.
Thanks, Simi. And, you know, I imagine we've all been impacted in different ways by the pandemic. You know, each of our experiences are unique to us. And in some cases, you know, the pandemic will have undoubtedly had a negative impact on people's mental health. But do you think there have been any differences in experiences from generation to generation?
I do, John. Look, I describe the pandemic with the analogy of being in a storm. We've all weathered a big storm and we've all been in our own boats, uniquely experiencing the storm. In some shape or another, we've all experienced a loss. And that perhaps could be a loss of a holiday, important events, education, career opportunities, seeing friends and family, or even tragically losing a loved one. And I think it's really important to recognize that globally, we all have a commonality in that we have lost something. And I think, John, you're absolutely right. The pandemic has affected different generations in unique ways. You know, you've got your older generations have been identified as being vulnerable and have had to shield or isolate for several months. You've got the baby boomers, the aged 55 to 73. They've had a significant reduction in earnings. Their pension pots have been affected. You've then got Generation X, those that are born between 1965 to 1980. They've been extremely busy running their family households and caring for elderly parents, and also managing their careers and their work. And many of those have been furloughed or have had their hours reduced. And then you've got millennials. So these are individuals aged between 26 and 40. And this could include both young and established career professionals who may also be new parents or homeowners. And many of them have faced the stress of working from home whilst at the same time caring for their families and trying to homeschool their children. And then we have Gen Z, you know, the generation we're specifically focusing on here, which is aged between 8 to 23 year olds. the younger Zoomers, the younger generation, they've had to grapple with school closures, missing social contact with friends, their extracurricular activities, camps. And then you've got others that are slightly older that have been trying to complete their education, their exams have been postponed, or the introduction of different marking criteria has really decided the fate of their grades and the path for them. And then the older Gen Z, which we call the older Zoomers, those are the ones that are just about entering or recently have joined the world of work. So they're at the very start of their careers, and now they're facing even more volatile job market, significantly reduced job opportunities with little or no job security. They're really struggling to pursue their career dreams that they've worked so hard towards. So I really do empathise, John, greatly with the older Zoomers in particular with regard to how they've been impacted by the pandemic.
And in what ways do you think the pandemic has impacted young people, which may be different from other generations?
I think whilst the pandemic has affected all generations, I think the true impact will not be known for a while yet, especially with the younger Gen Z. The younger Zoomers are still obviously growing up. But undoubtedly and unfortunately, I think for the older Zoomers, they have been affected at a pivotal time in their lives, where they are making significant life choices and career decisions and confirming their education pathways. So they will experience inevitable delays in entering the job market, especially as they have no or very little industry experience. So I think it's therefore important to recognise the impact on this generation. And it's not just around employability, it's more than this. It's about identity and dreams and aspirations, feelings of self-worth, life happiness and satisfaction levels. These have all been impacted. And those that are embarking on their university journey, they'll be experiencing a very unusual Freshers' Week and online courses, and they'll be missing out on the memorable social experiences of uni life. So the social impact is also huge on this generation. And I think it's something that we need to really absolutely recognise and look at ways in how we can support them through this.
And do you have any advice to any of the Zoomers, you know, on how to cope with the persistent and long-term uncertainty that, you know, they're probably feeling right now?
Absolutely. I think, look, what we can be certain about is that uncertainty is something that will be around for a long time, and it has become a part of life for everyone. Whilst the degree or the extent may vary for people and generations, uncertainty is certainly affecting and impacting all of us. I think it's also therefore important to develop our personal toolkits for dealing with uncertainty. So, for example, even in the most uncertain times, like today, there are still some small elements of certainty or consistency that can be identified. And it's really about being open to find those. And if I may, John, there's three key strategies I think that would perhaps be really helpful for young people in terms of how they cope with the persistent and long-term uncertainty. The first one being, I think, adopting a planning mindset. So this is where you regularly become creative at planning multiple options, contingencies, whilst recognising the need to include a degree of flexibility within each of your plans. It's also recognising when you need to let go of things or thoughts that are not helping or serving you well. So, for example, you might recognise that you are really fixed on one idea and perhaps you've not given yourself the chance to think about any other viable opportunities or possibilities. And this is where you can become quite narrow in your thinking and perspective and think that there are no other avenues or options for you that are available. The second one is really about keep building your own self-awareness. So this is taking the time to sometimes reflect on your approach to dealing with a setback. Ask yourself, how am I handling this? What have I learned about myself, about the way I'm handling the situation? And if there was one thing that you could do differently right now that would help change how you feel about the situation, or maybe even change the situation, what would that be? So So a couple of, you know, powerful questions to ask yourself there. And the third technique then is around becoming really resourceful. This is really thinking about what resources you have around you that can help. This may be tapping into friends, family networks, thinking about potential courses you can do, new interests that perhaps you can explore and pursue. And where possible, having focused brainstorming conversations with people in your network to think about ideas of what you could do next or consider opportunities that you may not have even thought of before. And you could also offer this to others too in your own network, whereby you can help them brainstorm ideas for themselves too. And I think these three skills are really essential to develop your approach and mindset to dealing with uncertainty. And now is a really good opportunity to start practicing and developing them, as they'll only become even more valuable as you continue with your career and your options and as you enter the workforce as well, because it's essential to be able to adapt and respond to change.
Thanks, Simi. That's some fantastic advice, you know, and I'm sure it will help our listeners. So would you say that Generation Z or Zoomers, would you say that they were already suffering from poor mental health before the pandemic? And if so, what has been causing this historically?
Yeah, I think this is another great question, John. But the research suggests that Gen Z is already the most anxious generation, with many more young people suffering from anxiety and depression. And it's not surprising, as the landscape for which you know, these young individuals are growing up is vastly different from other generations. You know, they're consuming information about anything and everything instantaneously from all around the world at the click of their fingers. This could be world events, incidents, news, celebrity and influencer drama. They're consumed by financial worries and fears, big topics and concerns for climate change, global warming. You know, it's the older Zoomers that were the ones leading the Black Lives Matter protests globally. So they're really driven by purpose and are so desperate for things to change for the positive. A lot of their time is spent on social media platforms, and a lot of self-comparisons happen as people tend to portray positive aspects of their lives on social media. And for viewers and followers, they can, you know, feel that their lives are inadequate or perhaps not even as exciting and interesting in comparison to others. And the research really indicates that this generation tend to become what they feel. By that, I mean they become so consumed and absorbed by what they are engaging with and seeing. Also, I think the lack of in-person, interpersonal connection has been something that has become the norm for this generation. And again, this is leading to young people feeling more isolated, lonely, perhaps missing out on the benefits from in-person interaction and the stimulation that you get from being physically around others. And also, this sense of virtual living has been even more entrenched as part of their lives now and our lives, especially during lockdown, with the increase in uptake of online shopping, deliveries, music and video streaming, virtual entertainment events. So in some ways, you really don't need to now leave your home anymore. Everything's so accessible at the click of your fingers.
Thanks for your insights, Simi. They're really, really interesting. And, you know, talking about purpose and it being really important to Gen Z, we are seeing a lot of companies respond to that and, you know, start to develop or really own their own purpose, which I've no doubt is, you know, in part direct response to that. Now, going back to the pandemic and, you know, and how this could be affecting Gen Z, no doubt that many young people will feel that the pandemic has effectively put their lives, their future on hold, and that their first initial steps into the world of work have been disrupted as a result. So these worries will be adding to their poor mental health. What are the unique challenges that Gen Z face from this perspective, and how can they overcome it?
Yeah, look, we have to look at the facts of the situation here, John. So globally, unemployment is at all-time high levels. It's harder for those with little or no experience to get employment. So it's really about recognising the reality of the situation. However, rather than thinking about it in the way that, you know, your future is on hold, it's about adapting to what is now possible. So even when I look at organizations that kept saying, you know, we're going to hold off on certain programs, we'll pick up projects when things get back to normal, those are the organizations that have really been left behind, whilst the ones that have adapted and have seen that there's been a need for a change in the way in which services are delivered and experienced, they're the ones that are making good progress now because they've adapted. And the older Zoomers entering the workforce, I think they really need to be open to explore options that perhaps they may not have considered before. So, for example, extending further studies. I know some Zoomers that have graduated, and rather than entering the workforce now, they've decided to go on to do a master's or another course. Perhaps it's investing more in your education and perhaps delaying an entry into the market. Others have decided to start offering their skills and interests on freelance platforms such as Upwork, Fiverr, People Per Hour. You know, these are also some good options to consider doing some work to get some experience, perhaps to get some extra money. And doing this option perhaps alongside other options could be quite viable. So it's really about being open to explore and not necessarily putting things on hold, but thinking of how best can you now utilise your time in this space.
Thanks, Simi. Talking about education there, I've heard of a term, post-graduation depression. What are the common signs of that? And do you think it might be more common amongst the class of 2020? And how can our listeners start to overcome it if they are experiencing it?
I'm glad you've raised this, John, as although there is no official term for post-uni blues or post-graduation depression, it is extremely common. And for those that experience it, it can be experienced very intensely. It is a big transition from uni life to thinking about entering the world of work, and we can't underestimate it. So from active social lives, being surrounded by peers, being in a learning environment and working towards goals, to then perhaps being rejected from job applications and interviews, can really take a toll on one's self-esteem. And this is when self-doubt, negative thoughts can spiral and you can start feeling really down about yourself. So common signs of this type of depression include changes in sleeping patterns, either spending less time sleeping as you're unable to sleep due to feeling stressed, restless, or sleeping so much more than you would have previously slept to avoid having to deal with what you're going through. Disengaging and withdrawing from family and friends, a loss of appetite, loss of interest in activities you would normally have enjoyed. I think it's really important to be aware of these signs. And to address this, I would really recommend three things. One is acknowledge how you really feel about your situation. Two, openly share and talk with perhaps a mentor, a professional or a family member that you trust. And three, consider accessing professional support and help, like your GP, or contacting specialist professional helplines, such as Minds Charity, STEM4, and talking through things with a trained counsellor. It really is okay to seek professional help. So I'd encourage anyone who is suffering to not suffer alone, and there is really practical and helpful support available.
Thank you, Simi. On this next question, I don't think this is limited to Gen Z, but, you know, of course, sustained periods of national lockdowns around the world have led many to experience social anxiety. But focusing on young people, what advice would you give to those that are experiencing this? And are they perhaps feeling nervous about an upcoming interview or starting their first job? What would you say to those people?
Look, this is completely understandable, and it's recognising and being clear on what it is that the individual is actually feeling anxious about. Is it about potentially getting the virus, spreading it to others, or how they're going to maintain social distance when perhaps they're going for an interview? Is it about the interview itself? the way in which the interview will be conducted. Is it going to be in person or is it going to be virtually? Asking yourself these questions first and then taking a step back from the situation and asking yourself one to two things that perhaps you can do to feel more in control about the situation. So, for example, making sure that you're familiar with the government guidelines on social distancing, you know, what you can do and can't do now, ensuring, for example, you have a mask and you wear it appropriately, preparing for the interview as best and as normally as you would. So I think it's really recognizing first and foremost what it is that you're anxious about, and then it's looking at what else you can do to put in place some strategies to help feel more prepared and alleviate those feelings and worry and concern about the particular issue.
For those experiencing self-doubt right now, perhaps fueled by comparing themselves to their peers, how can listeners reframe their negative self-deprecating thoughts to ensure their first steps into the world of work are as positive as possible?
It's really common to fall into mind traps when we feel anxious and stressed. And in psychology, we call this term cognitive distortion. And it can take you down an unhealthy downward spiral, which can lead to self-doubting and self-deprecation. And I like the analogy that negative thinking is like measles for the mind. It's contagious and it's infectious for ourselves and those around us. And another helpful analogy is to think about our thoughts as commodities. No thought lives in our head for rent-free, and we will pay for all the negative thoughts in our mind in terms of the energy, time, health, and the levels of happiness that we experience. So I'm sure, John, you'll agree that it's much better for us to be paying for thoughts that make us feel happy, fulfilled, and energized. And going back specifically to your question in terms of anxiousness and stress, when we are anxious and stressed, we tend to typically fall into six types of mind traps. The first one is overgeneralization. We think that one negative thing has happened and we convince ourselves that it's always going to happen in similar situations. So, for example, you know, you may have failed at one interview and then your thought process is that all interviews are going to have the same outcome for you. The second one is emotional reasoning. This is when we feel a certain way and we think it must be the truth. And again, this is quite common in Gen Z because we often will get consumed by our thoughts and our feelings. But it's really taking a step back to say, well, actually, I may feel like this, but that doesn't really define who I am at this moment in time. The third one is all or nothing thinking. And this is when people tend to think about things either being black or white, or things are a complete success or a complete disaster. And it's really important, especially during these times of the pandemic, to think about things in a more of a balanced way, because there are some positives as well as some negatives as well with every situation. The fourth filter is what we call a mental filter. And this is when individuals only remember the negative things that happen during the course of their life and perhaps shut down all the positive things. And again, I would really encourage individuals when they feel that they are going down this way of thinking, is to take a step back and also remind themselves of all the positive things that they have achieved. The fifth one is should statements. And this is when we try to motivate ourselves by dwelling on things that we think we should have achieved or should have been able to do. So it would be quite easy to think, well, I should have got a job by now, or I should have been on the course that I really wanted to do. We put a very loaded expectation on ourselves. And it's just being aware of those should statements and perhaps changing them into something more helpful and meaningful that, you know, I may not have got there now, but I'm on my journey to get there. The sixth mind trap is mind reading. And this is when we conclude that someone or others are perhaps thinking quite negatively about us. So in particular, when on social media, we have followers or people reading our blogs and posts or commenting on photos and pictures. It's really about taking a step back and thinking that it's really more meaningful to get an understanding of what your thought process is and the positives, not just the negatives on something that you hear or see. Many of my coaching clients hear me say, if you do things in the same way, you get the same results. And if you're not happy with the results that you're getting, you have to do things differently. And I think this is something really important for individuals, especially in the Gen Z, the older Zoomers, to take on board, because it is really about looking to do things differently. And I think a great way to do this, John, is through reframing our thoughts. And it's really important to develop the skill to reframe our thoughts, because it's very helpful in terms of managing our own mental health. And this is not about being disillusional or denying the truth. It's really about being very factual and balanced about the reality of a situation. But the stories we tell ourselves about an event or a situation will affect how we feel about the event or the situation, and in turn affect how we feel about ourselves. So it's really important that we're aware of the stories that we're telling ourselves.
Perfect. Thank you, Simi. It's clear that self-care in maintaining good mental health is essential to achieving that. And, you know, we've been fortunate enough for you to share tips on, you know, how you can maintain that. Is there anything else, any other tips that you would add, you know, or advice that would be relevant to Gen Z?
I think it's about breaking your day into distinct chunks. It's about having routine and having structure. So perhaps each day, each part of your day is focused on something different. For example, you could spend an hour on educating yourself, or an hour practicing a skill or an interest, a couple of hours connecting with friends or meeting with friends, and a couple of hours on job search or interview preparation. It's really about thinking how best you can put in a routine for yourself that is going to allow each day to be purposeful and meaningful for yourself. And, you know, we can't underestimate the importance of physical movement and exercise. It really does uplift your mood, whether that's going for a jog, a bike ride, you know, having a good dance. That is absolutely key to helping keep your mind healthy and active too. I think another tip really is taking time out to think. And when I mean to think, I think it's about being very creative, perhaps taking 45 minutes out and putting together a vision board of perhaps what is the art of the possible. So if you could achieve whatever you wanted and there were no obstacles in the way at this moment in time, what would that vision look like for you? What would be possible? And sometimes we don't know what will emerge from these kind of brainstorming sessions when we allow ourselves to be able to just think really openly and consider options without any obstacles and barriers. And it's really quite energizing and effective to do this with other friends or peers and bounce ideas off each other. And I would really recommend that you regularly review your vision board and tweak it as necessary, because things will change, circumstances will change, and new opportunities will arise for you. But the energy that we get from being able to think about the possibilities is really uplifting. So definitely start with thinking about what all the options and all the possibilities could be before you start eliminating them and thinking about the realities of what you can actually execute on.
Thanks, Simi. There's some, you know, really great, great advice in there. And moving on to the next question, World Suicide Prevention Day took place last month, and it's well publicised that men are far more likely to die from suicide than women. Do you have any advice for young men who may be listening and, you know, perhaps struggling with their mental health at present?
Yeah, absolutely. So you're right, World Suicide Prevention Day is on the 10th of September. It's really important for young men to have mentors that they can look up to and talk openly with. Parents need to start identifying mentors in their social networks that they feel would be good for their children, even from a young age of 7 to 8 years old. And as children grow older, they should be encouraged to seek their own mentors too. And these are individuals they view as positive role models, individuals that they have access to talk to and can share their views with. Also, for young men, it's very important for them to surround themselves with a strong, supportive peer group of friends. Friends they can really be themselves with, enjoy fun times together with, as well as have more deep and meaningful conversations over a drink, coffee, or an activity together. Being a mother of two young boys, I'm always encouraging my boys to talk about their feelings and share their views with us as their parents, and also with close family and friends too. I think it's hugely important, as well as recognising and becoming familiar with the language of feelings from an early age and being able to be encouraged to talk about different emotions and practising how you then self-regulate those emotions. And the key way to do that is, one, identifying what emotions you're feeling. And then secondly, it's about being able to put strategies in place to alleviate or help cope through those emotions as well.
Some really great points there. You know, what is a, you know, obviously an incredibly important topic. You know, so just to summarize, you know, men need to open up more, need to have conversations, you know, find a mentor, and obviously, you know, try to reject those, the mentality of shutting up, closing up, and not talking things through and trying to hide your emotions from other people. So on to the last question, which is one that we ask all our podcast guests. If you had one piece of careers advice to help our listeners navigate their careers through the pandemic and beyond, what would that be?
Here I would say it's about staying open-minded. There's always alternative options available, and it's about being open and flexible to consider each and every option fully to make your most informed choice. Also, I think in light with everything we've been talking about in terms of well-being and mental health, it's really important to recognise that feelings come and go and that they are temporary and changing. So, you know, I say to a lot of my clients, let the clouds of emotions go by, as those feelings don't define who you are.
Thank you very much, Simi. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on the podcast today. Some fantastic advice that I no doubt will help some of our Gen Z listeners as well. So thank you very much for your time today.
You're most welcome, John. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Hayes Worldwide Careers Advice Podcast. If you have found this advice useful, please do leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. At the same time, if you have any questions or suggestions for future podcast episodes, feel free to reach out to us via email at socialmedia@hayes.com.